Hello everybody, I'm George Minor. Well, thank you for coming back to my channel. This is talking about the Likud poster that went up recently. Likud meaning the consolidation, originally like of the liberal parties of Israel, and that is Bibi Netanyahu's political party. Of course, there's an election coming up very soon, and looks he's slightly behind the opposition. He could still win. Remember, he has dominated Israeli politics for about 30 years, been prime minister on and off for half of that time. So the longest serving Israeli prime minister ever, but not continuously. He's been leader of the opposition, been finance minister, and so on. So now he is age 78, looking incredibly good for his age. He is an evil, evil ogre. He is a mass murderer. You think of the hundreds of thousands of Palestinians he's murdered, not just in this current conflict, which is at well over 100,000, if you include those indirectly killed. But, you know, every few years, as they call it, mowing the lawn, massacres of Palestinian civilians, atrocities in Lebanon, atrocities in Syria, atrocities in Iran. You can see his bloody reign of terror all across the globe, attacking people in Qatar, in Tunisia, in the United Arab Emirates. Wow, it's just sick. So probably the world's most prolific international terrorist, presiding over torture, humiliation, and malnutrition of the hostages he holds in his own prisons. I mean, spying even on his friends, planting a bug in number 10 Downing Street. That comes from the autobiography of someone who was very fond of him, Boris Johnson. And it goes on, expectorating hatred, especially against Arab Israelis and so forth, appealing to the basest Islamophobic prejudices and so on. All the time, endlessly exploiting the Holocaust as though that somehow is justificatory of another genocide. And so on, having the nerve to talk about democracy when he denies it to Palestinians, sworn to prevent the establishment of a Palestinian state, yet more armed robbery, yet more Lebensraum in the West Bank. I mean, he's vile. So very, 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 very worrying. Cozying up to the cruelest tyrants on earth, such as Putin, and yet he might still win. But anyway, this big poster by the Likud, it shows Zoran Mamdani, the mayor of New York City, beside Mojtaba Khamenei, who's the supreme leader of Iran and son of the last one, and the Hezbollah chief, Naim Qasem, and the president of Turkey, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, with the Hebrew words, they want Netanyahu to lose, don't let them win. Okay, so do they want Netanyahu to lose? Well, I mean, they would like an end to the genocide, they'd like an end to the illegal occupation, the West Bank and so forth. That could be delivered either by defeating Israel, doesn't look likely, or an Israeli government that's more reasonable. Now, to treat Palestinians fairly, to end the illegal occupation, to end the conflict, that would be good for Israelis as Palestinians. And Netanyahu, since the 70s, always been trotting out this line, I want to live in peace. And it's always somebody else's fault. It's like, that's a typical criminal's mentality, is everybody's fault except myself. No, you're responsible for your actions. You did it. Therefore, it's because of you. It's not because of someone else. Someone else does something, and there are different ways you can react. Goodness, and often what the Palestinians are doing is reactive, is self-defensive. Those who are illegally occupying others are not acting self-defensively. It's like in law, the criminal, the aggressor, the one who starts the crime, he, she then cannot invoke self-defense. So a bank robber goes into a bank, pointing a gun at somebody, and one of the people at the bank tries to grab the gun off the robber then shoots the person dead. I said, well, I had to defend myself. No, that's inoperative. So here he is equating the mayor of a city of a friendly country, the United States is more helpful to Israel than anybody else, with the Hezbollah chief, whom Israel considers a terrorist. And they've obviously killed a few Hezbollah chiefs, with the supreme leader of Iran. And obviously Iran is tyrannical, has killed thousands of his own civilians on the street. And then Israel somehow uses this as a reason to kill more Iranians. But Israel's killed way more people in recent years than the Iranians have. Now, the Iranian regime is certainly barbarous. I feel very, very sorry for the Iranians who live under this reign of terror. But that's Iran's own internal affair. That's not for Israel to interfere, to choose the government of Iran. And it's a bit rich coming from them, considering they've slaughtered so many Palestinians. It's not that they care about ordinary Iranians, or they wouldn't be bombing them. Now, Zoran Mamdani, I don't like him for his hatred of children. But you know, he's not anti-gay, which the supreme leader of Iran is. It has had people hang for homosexual acts, or the Hezbollah leader is, or whatever. He's not remotely anti-Semitic. I mean, Netanyahu believes just about everybody in the world is anti-Semitic, and if you actually vote for his party, you're anti-Semitic, even if you're Jewish. He's the real anti-Semite because, of course, Arabs are Semites too, and look how many hundreds of thousands of them he's murdered. All right. So, goodness, sick, vile, racist, satanic, and then constantly equating the actions of his government with all Jewish people in the world, which is completely bogus because there are many Jewish people who are just as revolted by his manifold crimes as I am. And they're good and bad people of all ethnicities and of all religions. And indeed, part of the definition of anti-Semitism is to blame all Jews for the policies of the Israeli government. So is he saying that he would happily assassinate Mamdani? And is this an interference in another country's politics? And does Erdogan want Likud to lose? I don't know. The dispiriting thing is, even if the opposition wins in Israel, probably the policies won't be greatly different. You know, that was the Labour Party in Israel, that side that they call One Israel now. And the president of Israel, Isaac Herzog, he comes from that political party, that tradition. His father, Chaim Herzog, I blush to mention, is also an Irishman like me, and it was president of Israel in the late 80s, early 90s. So the policies wouldn't be that different. They might end the occupation. You know, since the actual ceasefire, Israel's murdered over 1,000 people in Gaza, 1,000, many more wounded and so on. All the restrictions have been lifted on aid. Gaza's husk has been able to rebuild. It's terrible. And you see this ongoing pogrom against defenseless people in the West Bank, terrorizing men, women, and children. You know, it's just heartbreaking, and it's infuriating, the constant crimes against humanity committed by Netanyahu's Nazi regime. And I know his apologist said, well, he didn't actually nuke them. Oh, whoopsie-daisy, the anti-Semitic Israel that has nukes, because he didn't kill all of them. Well, Raphael Lemkin's definition of genocide, internationally accepted, is you have to kill every single last member of the group. You only have to try to destroy them in part. Now, killing one person wouldn't count as genocide, or 10, 100, maybe even 1,000. But beyond that, it might do, depending on how large the group is. They certainly wanted to kill a significant section of the Palestinian population in Gaza, and they most certainly have. And they would have gone even further were it not for international pressure, even the United States, and you know, threats to recognize Palestine, possibly sanctions, and so forth. And obviously, a section of Israeli public opinion, which is decent, which does have some morals, even they're willing to fight Hamas to say, we cannot be committing this massive scale slaughter. Okay, because they have to think about the media and trade and so on. And always going back to 1945, this is not the Second World War. All right, Hamas is not a superpower. Germany was. You know, Hamas has no tanks, no planes, no helicopters, no armored personnel carriers, no infantry fighting vehicles, no boats, no ships, no submarines, no howitzers. All right, Israel has all of these and the very best military technology in the world, as they never stop bragging. So it was not an existential threat to Israel at all. Okay, they killed a few hundred people on one day. That's terrible. But they were not going to defeat Israel, whereas Israel is an existential threat to Palestine, has largely wiped off the map already. Palestine having lost about 90% of its territory over the last century. Another thing is, not only is this, you know, it's not an existential threat to Israel, so the comparison is completely bogus. Moreover, now military technology allows to be very, very precise with targeting. Again, as the Israelis are always boasting, how they got pinpoint accuracy, they can kill people thousands of kilometers away, and yet they have to blow up a whole hospital to kill one person in Gaza. And another point, yeah, international law has changed. The Geneva Convention was updated in 1949, partly because of the horrors of the Second World War. And yeah, the Allies were sometimes guilty. They committed atrocities too. Maybe not as many, maybe not as large scale as the Axis, but it's preposterous to think the Allies were completely inculpable. So he will always go back to 1945 and make these completely false analogies. Anyway, so do what you can to work for humanitarianism, for common decency, for mercy towards all people of all ages, of all races, of all religions, in all parts of the world. And one day, I just hope that one day, Netanyahu might be brought to justice. Sadly, I don't hold out much hope, but maybe some of his lieutenants will finally be brought before the International Criminal Court. Anyway, thank you and goodbye.